shrill ring reverberated across the lawn and Ginny ran, leaping up the steps before wrenching the French door open. "Hello?" She held one hand against her chest to still her pulse while she took slow breaths. "Mum, where have you been? This is the third time I've rung." "Bryony, sorry, darling. I nipped out to lock up the chooks and took longer than I planned." A nutty chocolate smell drifted around the open living area and Ginny glanced anxiously around the room. "Hang on a sec, I'd better get the brownies out of the oven before they burn." She dropped the receiver beside the vase of roses on the dining table and hurried to the stove. Seconds later, she picked up the handpiece and frowned. "It's very early over there. Are you all right?"
"Yeah, I'm okay. I woke early and have been on the laptop for over an hour trying to get a flight home."
The girl's voice shook with emotion and Ginny raised her eyebrows. "Do you think you might be better staying put?" Ginny's reassurance wavered. "You're a long way from populated areas. Maybe you could wait out the summer and try again after this confusion settles down." A flood of tears met her suggestion and Ginny ached with sympathy for her daughter.
"I just want to come home, Mum,"
Bryony hiccuped.
"Especially now. It's a year tomorrow since..."
Ginny slumped onto the couch, steeling herself before she spoke.
"I know. I miss him too. And there's nothing I'd like more than to have you girls here with me. But that's not possible until this pandemic is under control, or at least until we all know more about how to deal with it."
"Have the police contacted you again?"
"No. Last I heard, it was still an open case, though. So who knows?"
Ginny switched the phone to her other ear as she rose and began transferring the cooling biscuits onto a wire rack.
"How's Alex?"
A huff of breath echoed through the receiver, and Ginny blinked.
"He's fine.
Of course, he doesn't want me to leave. Says the Isle of Skye is the best place for both of us to sit it out, especially as the tourist season is just kicking off here."
Bryony snorted.
"Fat lot of good that will be if Scotland locks everyone down like Australia did."
Ginny twisted her mouth and squared her shoulders.
"Let's not go there. You've got a good job, at least for this season anyway, and you've got Alex and a cosy cottage to live in."
Bryony groaned.
"You're right. As usual. I'm thinking of you though, Mum, and I wish I was home. Sitting on the veranda and eating your delicious peanut brownies instead of planning the menus for the week."
"I'll eat an extra one and think of you," Ginny said with a soft smile.
"How's Grandma?"
Ginny grinned to herself.
"She's fine. A bit annoyed at not being able to get out and about or have visitors. Thank goodness she bought that iPad. Apparently Ryan, the young fellow who's been teaching her how to use it, sends her messages every day. And she's forever on her Facebook page."
Bryony's spluttered laughter echoed in Ginny's ear.
"She'll be miles ahead of you then, Mum."
"That's not hard. You forget how poor our internet connection is here. Anyway, even if it was good, I doubt I'd have a fraction of the time to spend on it that she does."
Ginny huffed. "Still, she's pretty good for 82, isn't she?"
"Sure is.
Give her my love when you ring, and tell her to invite me to be one of her Facebook friends."
"I will."
"Thanks, Mum. I suppose I'd better go."
"Thanks for ringing, love.
Have a good day at the lodge. Perhaps today you'll meet some nice new guests to take your mind off things."
"Yeah, sure. I'll ring you if I have any luck with flights."
"Okay, talk again soon. Bye."
"Bye."
Ginny replaced the receiver. There was nothing she would like more than to have her two girls home with her, especially now. She missed her husband so much. Lyndon had been a good father. He had been a wonderful husband, and the unfairness of his sudden death still tore at Ginny's heart. She rose and returned to the bench. Lifting the lid off the cookie jar, she layered as many as would fit inside, then stored the rest in a battered biscuit tin with a picture of a Labrador on the lid. Then she microwaved remnants of cottage pie from the previous night, switched on the television, and curled up in the armchair.
"Once we've got through tomorrow, I'll be better," she convinced herself. "It's always hard for the first year." But something puzzled her, and she couldn't put her finger on what it was. Lyndon was so careful, so methodical. His accident made no sense.
Chapter 2. Dawn broke the following morning as grey and dull as Ginny's sentiments.
"Buck up, girl,"
she chided herself and slid out of the enormous bed, then crossed to the French doors opening onto the veranda. Flute lay on the mat outside, peering through the...